Growing old. Growing old. It's a part of life. You know, time never stands still. Have you noticed that? It just keeps moving right along. I cannot believe I've got a son that's going to graduate high school next year. I just can't believe it. I mean, I told Denise the other day, I said, honey, I don't know about you, I still feel like a kid in a lot of ways. And I said, I can't believe we've got a son that's going to graduate high school. And she said, I know, I can't either. She said, boy, we're talking about college and all that, where he's going to go to college. She said, boy, we sure weren't thinking about that. She said, 17 years ago, were we? I said, no. I said, boy, it got here fast, though, didn't it? It got here fast. Can you believe how fast time moves? I mean, you know, somebody asked somebody, said, boy, you're 70 years old. How does it feel to be 70? I mean, can you believe it? You know, you got another birthday and you're 70. And he said, well, it's better than the alternative. Amen. Amen. You know, the older people in this room were once young people. Believe it or not, teenagers, we were once young. We really were. We were your age at one time. That's the way it works. The young people in this room will one day be old. That's part of life. And you know, we have no choice over this aging process. We don't have any choice. We have no choice. We have no choice over the aging process, but here's something we do have a choice about. In your handout, it says we have a choice as to how we will grow old, how we're going to age. We have a choice over that, how we're going to age. In other words, it's really not important what kind of person you were in your past. What can you change? I say this all the time because I want you to get it, because some of you need to get it. What can you change about your past? Nothing. But you can, listen, it's not about what you were in your past. What it is what kind of person are you becoming? That's the question. What kind of person are you becoming? Our young people desperately need some role models worth looking at today. And if they're going to have role models that they can look at, then they've got to see some people who have grown up in the Lord and they see the grace life in action. They need to see some Christian maturity lived out in the circumstances of daily life. You've heard the saying, a picture is worth... Yes, and as our young people see mature people in the Lord, as they see that maturity lived out, man, it's worth 1,000 words. It's worth more than what we could ever tell them as they see some real, true role models. And the Apostle Paul, he knew this was vital. He knew young people had to have some older people to look at. And so he knew how important it was, and he also knew the local church was the perfect place for it to happen. And so that's what this text is all about. Look at Titus 2, and we'll read it. Verse 1. He says, but speak thou the things, Titus. Remember, Paul's writing to Titus, and Titus has been left on the island of Crete to set in order these churches, to help straighten them out, get them up and functioning properly. Well, if he's going to get these churches, these local assemblies, up and going the way they should, look at verse 1. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You need to go to these churches, teach sound doctrine. Why? Verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now notice the reason. Verse 4, that they may teach who? The young women. Now folks, listen, look up here. If somebody's been saved for a number of years, they've known the Lord for a while, then there ought to be some godly attributes, there should be some graces that their life should reflect. There should be some deep spiritual maturity in the older saints that those who are younger in the Lord can draw from. That's the idea of this text. That's what this text is all about. Aging gracefully. In other words, aging full of grace. Gracefully. I'm full of grace. What grace? The grace of Christ. The grace of God. I'm demonstrating the grace life. Now, I'm talking about aging spiritually here, not physically. All right? This really isn't a message to seniors. I don't want you to get that idea. Because you can take a senior adult over here that's been saved, maybe 70 years old. He's only been saved a couple years. You take somebody over here that's 40 years old. They got saved when they were 15. They've been walking with the Lord 25 years. So who's got seniority in the Lord? The 70-year-old or the 40-year-old? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. See, we're talking about people with some seniority in the Lord. They've been walking with Christ for a while. And the grace life is seen and evidenced in their life. If you've been saved 10 years, 15 years, you know what? There should be some things that are evident in your life. There should be some things that people can look at and see the grace of God manifested and working and exemplified in your life. Now, the first thing I want you to get is this. Aging gracefully in the Lord begins, in your handout, it says it begins with the speaking and the receiving of God's truth. I want you to look with me again at Titus 2, verse 1. He says here, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Why? Sound doctrine is another word for truth, God's truth. He says, look, Titus, you be giving people God's truth. Why? Look at verse 2. That. In other words, there's something that's going to come out of that. As you teach sound doctrine, then the aged men, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see the aged men, those who are older in the Lord, sober, grave, temperate. The aged women will act like that they be in behavior. See? That's the whole idea, is that this sound doctrine that Titus is teaching, this truth that's getting inside of people, is going to produce something in their life. And the reason why he starts with the conjunction here, but, did you see that? Titus 2:1? But, in other words, what's he saying? He is making a comparison with the false teachers back there in chapter 1 that we talked about. And what does their teaching produce? Look at Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You see, that false teaching, now stay with me, that false teaching, that false doctrine, it produced something in the lives of their followers. What did it produce? It produced, verse 15, a defiled mind and conscience, an unbelieving heart. It produced people who have an outward semblance of godliness. They profess they know God, but their works, they deny Him. There's some wicked works there. What does that tell you? Bad doctrine is going to produce bad works. So he says, Titus, the way you do this thing, you get in these churches, you teach them some sound doctrine. You get God's truth inside these people, because just like the bad doctrine produces this bad stuff over here, if you can get some good doctrine, some life, sound doctrine means healthy, life-giving, energizing, God's truth. If you can get God's truth inside of them, then he said, you know what? This is what it's going to produce. The aged men are going to be this. The aged women, this is what you're going to see. The young women, you're going to see this. You see, all the things down here in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you go through there. He talks about the aged men, the aged women, the young women, the older women, the young men. As you read down through verses 2 through 10 and you see all these things, you know how it comes? Listen, the kind of lives that Paul describes in verses 2 through 10, do you know they're not built through entertainment? They're not built through stories. Okay? These kind of lives aren't built by just activities and just staying busy for the Lord. Okay? That's so many people's weak philosophy of church. You know, well, yeah, yep. That's why we got a youth group. Got to keep them teenagers busy. Well, that's a pretty weak philosophy. We're just going to keep them busy. Keep them out of trouble. Listen, these kind of lives aren't built by just keeping people busy for the Lord. Okay? These kind of lives, you say, how are they built, Pastor? In your handout, look with me. They're built, these kind of lives are built by receiving, digesting, and applying God's truth. God's truth. It's called sound doctrine. You don't grow old gracefully with a faulty belief system. In order to see the spiritual maturity of verses 2 through 10, and then Paul says, Titus, you know what you got to do? Man, you got to speak the things that become sound doctrine. Look down at verse 15, Titus 2:15. He said, these things speak. What things? The things Paul taught him. See, sound doctrine, if you study that out, sound doctrine has to do with the revelation that Paul received from heaven by Jesus Christ for the church today, for the dispensation of grace. And Paul took what Jesus taught him face to face, and then Paul gave it to Titus and Timothy and all these faithful men that he talks about. And so he says, Titus, verse 15, these things speak, the things I've taught you. And then he says, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. He didn't say, Titus, man, you know what? You need to just get you some good drama, you know, and take personality profiles, do some town hall type meetings, do some sensitivity training. No, he said, speak the things that become sound doctrine. He said, Titus, you teach God's Word, you explain God's Word, you reveal God's Word, you preach God's Word in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's Word will do the work that everybody else is trying to get done another way. There must be some people who willingly, patiently teach sound doctrine. But then there's got to be some people over here that long for it, want it, and will receive it. Go with me over to, keep your bookmarker here, and go to 1 Thessalonians. Go to your left, okay, before Timothy. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and a great verse. I really want you to see it. This is how it works. This is how people go from being young in the Lord to being aged in the Lord. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 2. This is how you get some growth on you, right here. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Paul said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Man, he says, we just can't get over it. We just are thanking God all the time. Let me tell you something. Those of you that teach in the youth ministry, the teenagers, those of you who teach children, those of you who teach life groups, If what was going on in your ministry was what was going to go on here in verse 13, you'd be thanking God without ceasing too. Because look at the verse. Why was he so thankful? Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in what? Truth, the Word of God, and because it was taught in truth, and because it was received and believed in truth, what does it say there at the end of the verse? It says, which effectually, what's the Bible doing? Come on, say it again. What's it doing? It's working. It's effectually, powerfully working. Also, in you that believe. As a believer, get some spiritual years on them. And again, I may be talking to somebody that's 30 years old. You've been saved 20 years. You got saved when you were 10. This isn't just a message for, okay, you know, this group, 60 plus or whatever. I'm talking to some folks in here this morning. You've got some spiritual age on you. You've been saved a while. There should be a demonstration of this sound doctrine evidenced in your life. You see, truth must be learned, but then in your handout, it says that it must be lived. Say that together. Truth must be what? Learn, but then it should be what? Lived. And that's what we're talking about. Those of you who are aged, those of you who have been in the Lord for a while, we see that grace life demonstrated. See, the young people see that demonstrated in our life and through our life. Just because you've grown old doesn't mean you've grown up. You ever met a 40-year-old that acted like a kid? You ever met a 60-year-old that acted like an overgrown baby? Yeah. Just because you've grown old doesn't mean you've grown up. Let me ask you something. Just because you've been saved 20 years, does that mean you've grown up spiritually? You can still be a baby Christian. Say, how do I know if I've grown up in the Lord? How do I know if I'm an aged man now, an aged woman? I've grown up in the Lord, in other words. Here's how you know. The Bible gives you a definite way you can know how you've grown up in the Lord. Here it is. You ready? I'm going to read for you a verse. Hebrews 5:13. Now listen closely and you judge yourself. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. How do you define a baby Christian? It's somebody who really doesn't know their way around their Bible very good, and they're very unskillful at how to use this book. in daily life, in the circumstances of daily life, they just really don't know how this book applies. They don't know where to go to find answers. They don't know how to share it with other people. They're very unskillful. That's how you know if you're a baby in the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby if you've only been saved a little while. But, you know, there needs to be some growth happening, because here's what you're shooting for. You know what the next verse says? Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of, here it is, full age. Full age. How do you know if you're aged? Well, here it is. Even those who by reason of use. Using what? In context, the Bible. Those who by reason of use, they've got some experience using this book. They've got some experience taking this book and applying it to the details of their life. He says they're of full age. They know how to get some strong meat out of the book. And it says they, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're able to detect and see the difference between good and evil. They're able to go to the Bible and tell you why it's good and why it's evil. There's some sound doctrine they've applied to learning in their life. They're full age. They're aged. They've grown in the Lord. That's what it's talking about. And as we grow old in the Lord, God says, I want you to age gracefully. I want you to be full of my grace. Now, as a man, how do we know if we're aging gracefully? Look at Titus. Go back there. Titus chapter 2, and let's look at it real quickly. Titus 2:2. How do we know, guys, if we're aging gracefully? Verse 2. Now, he's going to turn his attention here. Look at verse 2. That the aged men. Now listen. Before I go any further, when it talks about aged men, again, I just want to keep saying this. This is not talking about some guy with no teeth shuffling around on a walker with one foot in the grave, okay? That's not what it's talking about. You know what that's talking about when it says aged men? It's talking about some guys that have some spiritual age on them. They've got some years of walking with the Lord. They've got some spiritual seniority in the Lord. They've been walking with Christ for a while. When they were younger men, you know what they did? They took serious their faith. And when they were younger men, they invested, see? When they were young men, they invested in the development of their inner man. And now that they're older, the crown and the glory of the grace of God is demonstrated in their life. Have you ever noticed that old age strips the body of its glamour, young people? You ever notice that? Old age, it strips the body of its glamour. Why does it do that? Have you ever thought about that? I told the early service, why is it that when you're young and your body is the best it's ever going to get, then why is it that you don't have any sense, you know, to go along with the body? But then when you finally get some sense, hopefully, you know, as you've grown in the Lord, your body kind of deteriorates and it loses its glamour. Here's why the body loses its glamour as it gets older. It's so that your inner man, your inner spirit, can shine forth. It's so that that inner you can just shine out. And just shine out of you. That inner man that you develop, that inner man, inner woman, whatever you want to call it, that spirit in you, where Christ is, you develop that back here when you were younger. Now you just seem to get more beautiful as you get older, because it's that inner spirit coming out. It's that glow of the Lord that's coming out. That inner man that's got that sound doctrine in there, that truth, is coming out of you. That's why the body's stripped of its glamour, so the inner man can come out. That part you've built up in Christ. But you got to invest in it back here when you're young in the Lord. You say, well, I'm 65. That's okay, you're young in the Lord. You invest in that so that when you're over here and you're aged, you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years, that inner man, that inner life comes out. See? And instead of just growing old and ugly, you grow old gracefully. You grow old beautifully. Because of these things that are coming out of the inner you, where Christ dwells. In your handout, it gives us some things. Verse 2, that the aged men be, number 1, sober. What does that mean? It means that they think clearly and biblically about life. You got some guys here that are aged. They've walked with the Lord. They don't go to Hollywood to determine how they're going to think about life. They don't go to the guys at work to determine how they're going to think about life. They don't go to GQ magazine to try to form their thinking. They look at life through the lens of the Word of God. And even in a chaotic, crazy world, the sober-minded man that's grown in the Lord has some sound judgment that brings some stability in his life. He's sober-minded. He's able to think clearly, biblically, about life and what's going on around him. Number two, grave. Look at it. That the aged men be sober, grave. What does that mean? Now listen, I don't know about you. When I think of grave, I think about somebody going around with a face that scares off children, you know. And that's not at all what it means, all right? Here's what the word grave means. In your handout, it means they have earned the respect of others because of their Christian character. People want to sit up and listen to this guy. Why? Because he's got some experience in the Lord. He's grown, and people respect him because of the character they see in his life. You know, I was kidding around with the early service. When I was a kid growing up and watching football and stuff, they used to have these corny commercials where this guy would be talking, you know, like in a restaurant or something, and then all of a sudden everything would get deathly quiet and he would look around and the whole restaurant's going. And then, you know, this guy would come on that would say, "When E.F. Hutton talks," some of you are old like me, amen. The young people are going, "That's cheesy." But he'd come on, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." It's like, man, this guy's so filled with wisdom. I don't even know what it was. Insurance, I don't know what it was. But this guy's so full of wisdom that he starts talking and everybody goes, they just want to hear it. That's the idea of grave. This guy's grown in the Lord to where when he talks, he's not just running his mouth or just trying to blow off steam or trying to boss somebody around, but rather there's some Christian maturity and growing in his life that's taking place so that when he talks, man, people just want to sit up and listen to the guy because of the respect they have for him, because of the character that's in his life. Number three, temperate. Temperate. He says, the aged men be sober, grave. What does the grace life do? It makes you temperate. As you grow in the grace of God, what does that mean? It means that you don't allow things in life to control and dominate you. So many men struggle with this. The biggest area that we men struggle with is work. And so when we're younger in the Lord and we're kind of immature or we're not even saved, work dominates us and it controls us. And we think our identity comes from our work. And so, you know, we have this trouble being able to balance work with our home life and our wife and our children. And, you know, but then, you know what the idea here is? Temperate? That you've grown in the Lord. You're aged now. You got some years of walking with Christ. To where now a man's able to figure this thing out. Now this guy's grown in the Lord to where he's able to get some balance in his life. And he's able to discern and perceive some of these things. And he's able to figure out, you know, that, man, I'm not all about work and my identity isn't in my job and it's not in making money. And so we've got to work and that's not a bad thing, but the guy who's grown in the Lord's able to balance it all out and see how it all fits together. See? With things in life. You know, and temperate means that you're not given over. Things don't control you, whether it's eating or sleeping or playing or sports or television. If there's anything that controls this aged man, it's a hunger for the Lord and it's a hunger for the Word of God. That's what controls him. That's what dominates him. Man, he's just hungry for God. He's hungry for the Word. And he just wants that book. See, temperate. So many older people, as they grow in the Lord, but then they get to a point where they spend all their time. So many men spend their whole life in front of a TV set. You know, they spend their whole life in front of a computer. Grown men get addicted to video games, and they get addicted to TV, and they get addicted to the computer. They get addicted to the internet, or they get addicted to sports. And it just controls and it dominates their life. But as you grow in the Lord, You begin to see all this and you begin to perceive all this and you begin to understand what's important and prioritize and you begin to put the piece of the puzzle together. See, as you grow in the Lord, as you become aged, you've got some experience of walking with Christ, you're able to see the balance. And not that that stuff's bad, but you're able to see how it all fits together. See, what the priority really is. The next thing there is sound in faith. sound in faith. They live a life of reliance on God's Word. They're experienced in using their faith, applying sound doctrine to the details of life. Next one there, sound in charity and patience. Boy, I like that. As they've grown in the Lord, these men are loving and patient. Isn't that the opposite of what happens in so many guys' life? Hey, so many men, as they get old, they get mean and grumpy. They just get mean and grumpy. It says here, as they've grown in the Lord, they get more loving and more patient the older they get. You say, how can that be? The grace of God. They're hungry for the Word. They're growing in the Lord. They're growing in grace. And they demonstrate the graces of the Spirit in the way they deal with people. You know, it's so neat to see older people in the Lord who see young people, and instead of going, "Ah, them young people, they need to be quiet in church. I can't believe that." You know, and then you got other old people, and they're older in the Lord, and they look at the young people and just kind of smile and go, "Well, I remember when that was me." And they remember back when they were young. And they just kind of smile, and they just look at that youthful enthusiasm, or that the youthful mistakes, or the youth, and they just kind of think, "Man, you know, well, I remember that was me." And they almost look at it, you know, like, "Wow, isn't that something? That was me." And so many, I love to see an older person who just loves young people, and they love to, you know, be around young people. And I think one of the worst mistakes our society has made is when we get, like, you know, senior subdivisions, and it's all 60 plus, and it's like all the old people just congregate over here together, and they never have to be around, they never have to hear bicycles, they never have to hear tricycles, they never have to hear kids out and outside playing. They don't have to hear that anymore. I contend to you, that's a bad thing. I think that young people keep old people young. And I think that old people teach young people some things in life that they're not going to get anywhere else other than through the older people. So when you take them and you divide them all up in church, and then you even divide them where they live, and you just separate them all out, ugh, it's just yucky. It's just gross. It's like, you know, that diversity is good. It's a good thing. And you know, so many times men that get older and they've got some, you know, years of walking with the Lord, if they don't keep growing in grace, they just become grumpy, and they use their age as a weapon to always be chewing somebody out or blowing off steam or getting their way because of, you know, I'm older so I can just tell people what I think. You know, and it's like, ugh. You know, you want to age gracefully, full of the grace life, which means you're sound in charity and patience. Then, let me move on to the ladies. Amen, men. Ladies, buckle your seatbelts. Verse 3. He's going to describe the characteristics of a woman who has grown in the Lord. A woman who has walked with the Lord for a while. Here's what it looks like. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness. You know what that means? It means that a woman lives her life that beautifies, her life beautifies the identity she has in Christ. She lives a life that's consistent with who God's made her in Christ. That inner identity that she has in Christ flows forth in her actions and in her dealings with others. She's got a behavior that's becoming. It's attractive to holiness. And then the next thing there is it says that the aged women are not false accusers. What does that mean? It means they refuse to partake in slander and gossip. In fact, I will contend to you, there are older women in the Lord who have grown in the Lord. The grace life lives and dwells through them. They not only aren't given to slander and gossip, they've developed a distaste for it. They realize that it's usually false, it's usually wrong, it's usually just wicked, and so that older woman, she has grown in the Lord, and again, she may be 35, but she's been saved a number of years, and she's just developed a distaste for it. She doesn't want to hear it. She's not interested in what the grapevine has to offer. And so many times, when women get older, maybe their kids grow up and their kids are gone, or they retire, or they leave their job, or whatever it is, and now they got too much time on their hands, and instead of using their time to study the Word, to teach, to serve, to minister, to help people, they just eat, they use up their time to gossip and talk bad about people. That phrase, false accusers, did you know how it's translated in other places? Devil. Ladies who spread gossip are doing the devil's work. Number three, it says that the aged women are not given to much wine. You know what that means? It means they live in the sufficiency of Christ, not in the sufficiency of alcohol. They don't live in the sufficiency of any other chemical substance. They don't sublimate problems artificially, but they face their problems head on through Christ. They can successfully deal with the problems of life through God's Word. What a blessing to me sometimes when I'll see an older lady in the Lord and she loses her husband, but yet sure she's sorrowful. She's weeping. She's crying. But yet she handles it in such a godly way, and she just deals with it through God's Word and through the promises of the Word of God she clings to. I can't tell you how my heart's been blessed as I've watched people who have been mature in the Lord and the way they deal with the problems of life through the Word of God. That's the idea. She doesn't run to a bottle. She doesn't run to some chemical. She doesn't run to some drug. She goes to the Word of God. This is where she gets her strength from. This is where she solves problems in life. It's right here. Number four, that aged women are to be teachers of good things. What does that mean? It means they have a teaching ministry among the younger ladies. Hey, isn't it a sad state we're in today? Where are young women going to learn how to be young women for the Lord? Huh? They're going to get it from Oprah? Are young women going to learn their role in the home, in marriage, in the family, in church, in all these places? How is a young woman that wants to live by the Bible, that wants to live a godly life, that wants to be different, how is a young woman going to learn how all these things relate and her role before God? How is she going to learn that? I'll tell you, she's not going to get it from Oprah. She's not going to get it from the magazine rack at the store. She's not going to get it from Dear Abby. I'm going to tell you where she's going to get it. The Bible says she's going to get it from the older women who have some years of walking with Christ. They are supposed to be teaching the younger women. There is nothing more beautiful than a spiritually mature lady who ages gracefully. As she ages, she gets more and more beautiful in the Lord. And I tell Denise that all the time. I say, honey, you're more beautiful now than you were 20 years ago when I married you. And I mean it. She's just more and more beautiful to me because as she ages in the Lord, that inner life, that purpose, because I know my wife, as a young lady, tried to build some things. That's the idea here, is that as a young woman in the Lord, you build these things in your life so that as you age full of grace, gracefully. And these things begin to come out, and you're just more and more beautiful. Some women just get prettier the older they get. I mean that. And it's because of this thing right here. You know? They don't just get old and become old, you know, just old biddies. You know, they age gracefully. They just get more beautiful. Why? Because that grace life, that thing back there, that sound doctrine they built into their life back there, it's coming out. It doesn't happen by accident. Doesn't happen by accident. You don't age gracefully, ladies, by accident. It happens because you built those things into your life back there when you were young in the Lord. What a shame. What a shame that so many aged saints, aged. Again, you may be 40 and you're an aged saint. You've been saved 20 years. You may be 45 and you're an aged saint. You may be 50. I'm not trying to put this thing in a box. I'm just saying that the Bible says that when you got some spiritual seniority in the Lord, you got some experience in the Lord. What a shame when people like that get the attitude, I did my Christian duty. I'm just going to sit on this here pew and let the young saints do it now. Let them work. I did my turn. I did my duty. Let me tell you something right now. Here are saints that have been around the block, They know the Bible. They know Bible truth. They understand how God works. They understand how Satan works. They've made mistakes, plenty of them, but they've grown in the Lord through those mistakes. And at a time when they could be having their biggest impact, at a time, why in the world is it that when people get 10 or 15 or 20 years in the Lord, that they don't want to do anything anymore? And when they were back here, newly saved, just anything and everything they'd volunteer for. Why? It's over here where they can have their greatest contribution. They've been through it. They've seen some things. They know some things that they didn't even begin to know back there. And Brother Rob, he needs some mature saints who will help him with the youth group. You've told me that. Pastor, pray. I just need some folks that are grounded, that are rooted, that have some experience in the Lord, who will come alongside me and help me and teach these young ladies and these young men. And at a time when you can have your greatest impact, many saints retire from the Lord's work and they spend the golden years of their life in front of a TV set, or in front of a computer, or on a golf course, or on a shuffleboard court. What a waste. I can't think of one thing of eternal value that's going to happen in front of a TV set. Can you? What a shame. You got more, so many times as we grow in the Lord, we've got more time on our hands that we could be making an impact. Can I say something to those of you who have grown in the Lord? You got some years in the Lord. Can I tell you something right now? We need you at Crossroads. We need you. We need you involved teaching our children. We need you involved teaching our teenagers. We need you involved in teaching single moms, especially if you've been one. We need you involved teaching single dads. We need you involved teaching young married couples. So many young married couples don't have a clue. They're like, man, okay, we're married. What in the world do we do now? They don't have a clue how to make their marriage work. And they need some folks who are older in the Lord to come alongside them and say, hey, we're here for you. We'll help you through this. Don't worry. We'll get through this. We need you. Don't go into a shell. At a time, listen, in your handout, it says at a time when you can have your greatest influence, use it. As you grow in the Lord, you use that experience to build people and impact lives. Use it to build people and impact lives. Well, amen. I'm telling you right now that you cannot just sit around on your blessed promise, okay? You can't sit around on the blessed promise. You have got to stay impacting lives. You've got to keep impacting lives through the grace of God that lives in you. As you grow in the Lord and you become an agent. In other words, maybe that's 10 years. There's some people that in 8 years, they've grown so much that they would really be aged. Because do you remember how we define it? You don't define aged in the Lord by a number. You define it by Hebrews 5. Where you can take that word and you know how to use it. You're not perfect. You don't understand it all. But you know how to take the book and use it. Then those of you who are that way, you're aged in the Lord, you need to be using that. You need to be impacting lives. You need to be involved. Impacting lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word.